We'll start with cleaning the house, and then kashering the kitchen, and then bedikas chametz, and then what happens on Friday, Erev Pesach, and Shabbos this year, Erev Pesach, and then products, and then preparing for the Seder, or maybe the opposite order, preparing for the Seder, and then specific products. And that will be what we will cover in this year. There will not be a shiur next week. So whatever we do, we will finish tonight. Okay. If you have to leave early, right now, whatever, please feel free to do so. I will stay till the end and finish with the video and tape recorders or whatever. Okay. All right, let's start with cleaning the house. In general, what you have to be careful of, and let me go another caveat. What we say is the basic minimum for what you have to do if you live here in Moshav Matityahu. Less than what I'm telling you, you're not allowed to do. Can't be makel more than what the halachas are for this place. If you know somebody who holds differently, fine. You can welcome to live somewhere else. But if you live here, you have to accept the hashgachas that we accept and not eat the hashgachas we don't accept and prepare for Pesach the way that we say, kashir or kalim the way that we say, not less than that or whatever. And I understand that there are people who are more lenient in certain things than we are. But that is irrelevant over here. And therefore, since everybody eats from everybody else here, or at least at this point still does that, you can't be more lenient than what's acceptable for the tzibur here. If you want to be more machmer, matov or manoy. You can be machmer as much as you want. Only use a certain hashgachas or whatever, that's fine. As long as they are hashgachas that we accept. And if you don't want to use some of the hashgachas we accept, that's fine too. You're not required to eat everything we say you're allowed to eat. But you can't use hashgachas here that we don't accept. And I'm going to mention now, nothing to do with Pesach, one that I know, my wife has been in the supermarket and noticed people from here buying things with hashgachas that we don't accept. And it has nothing to do with Ashkenazim or Sfardim, the Atara hashgacha, which is very much used in Aleph, is not a hashgacha that we accept. It is not a hashgacha that's up to par with its enforcement, with its Seder, whatever. It has nothing to do with Ashkenazim or Sfardim. If a Sfardi called me and asked me if he could use our Torah, I tell him we don't use it, and he shouldn't use it either. And the same thing goes with things with Chassam Sofer, that on a product-by-product basis, many things of Chassam Sofer are okay, but especially for Pesach, the Chassam Sofer Hechsher, you'll notice, things that couldn't get a Hechsher from other Hechsherim, get one from Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer Hechsher, according to the information that I have, is a very questionable hashgacha, even though it says mahadrin, and product by product, there are things that are okay, but the other things are okay, the chatchila, it's not a hechsher that we use here, the chatchila, to just to buy indiscriminately things with either chsam sofer, either b'nei brak or petach tikva. Okay. Okay. Well, let's now get back to Pesach. Cleaning the house. Okay, the basic thing to be concerned about cleaning your house for Pesach is cleaning for chametz. All other cleaning should be done only if you have the time to do everything you have to do chametz-wise. Then you want to do spring cleaning, gesundheit. But first you should be careful that you do everything that's necessary chametz, not get waylaid with throwing out old clothing or whatever and forget it and not have time or properly do what you're supposed to do chametz-wise. And what's chametz-wise is rooms where chametz is brought into, even occasionally, have to be cleaned and then checked Erev Pesach for chametz, bedikas chametz. Rooms that you never bring chametz into, if you don't have little children, and you never bring chametz in the bathroom. Never. Okay, and you don't have cats or dogs either that could bring the chametz into the bathroom. Right? Then you don't have to clean your bathroom for Pesach. I advise you to clean your bathroom. But not necessarily that it has to be done for Pesach. The same thing goes if you have closets or you have bedrooms and you have a rule in your house that no one ever brings chametz into those rooms, right? And again, where there are little children, there's no rules and no nothing, and there's chametz everywhere. But if you don't have little children, or if you tie them, chain them up, or whatever, the entire year, then what's it called? You could have places in your house where there is no chametz. You never bring chametz into there, your attic, whatever, and you don't have to bother with those places. Just forget about them. There's no reason to clean them at all, Pesach-wise. Also, what you're looking for is edible chametz. Either a kezias that's edible, or even in certain cases, less than a kezias that could be edible. Less than a kezias that is not edible. Not that it's not edible because it's not fit for a dog. It's just not edible because people wouldn't eat it. People don't stoop out of the floor and eat crumbs off the floor. Those things you don't have to worry about. And therefore, your floors are enough to sweep and mop, and that's it. You don't have to get down on your knees and look to see if there are any crumbs on the floor. Books, sfarim. You don't have to go through every sefer and look for crumbs, because even if there are crumbs there, they are not things that people, while you're learning and you see a crumb in your book, you put your finger in, you know, and have a nice little snack, right? Unless you store sandwiches in your books as bookmarks, you don't have to check your svarim unless you plan to use them at the table. Any sefer you plan to use at the table, and you use with chametz, if you have haggadahs that you never use during the year, you only use them on Pesach. You don't have to check them even though you're bringing them to the table. But if you have svarim that you use during the year and you could have used them, and there could be crumbs in them from chametz, and now you bring it to the table, the crumbs could fall into food. Then it's a serious problem. So therefore, any sefer that you plan to bring to the table during Pesach, you should check page by page and make sure there's no crumbs. Any sefer that you don't plan to bring to the table, right, but has been used, well, what's it called, when you were eating or something, does not have to be checked for bedikas chametz. You don't have to clean out the books inside. What you have to do is clean off the bookcase, because people may have left chametz on the shelves, where that's impossible, right? Even if you have little children, they can't reach the high shelves, and you don't ever eat in the place where you have your books. You don't have a sandwich when you go to get a book. You know that that's not the case. If you do, then you have to check even the higher shelves. Maybe you left something there or whatever, and forgot it. So, but otherwise, you have to check the shelves, right, in a place where there could have been chametz. You don't have to check every book. Okay. And again, there are opinions more strict than this. If you want to, you can rely on what I'm saying. If you want to be more strict, matovu manoi. Okay. All other places that you have chametz, but you plan to close it off and sell that place to the goy, you don't have to make bedikas chametz in that place, and you don't have to clean it. So if you have cabinets that you are closing off with chametz in it, you don't have to take everything out of the cabinet, clean it, put back your chametz sticker things, and then close it up for Pesach and sell it to the goy. You can sell the goy any crumbs that are there too. So it doesn't have to be clean. Again, if you want to be clean and clean your cabinets once a year, whatever, right, that's very nice. But don't get bogged down in that and then not have time to do the things you have to do. So any place or anything that you are selling with your chametz, you're going to put away your mixer. For all practical purposes, you don't have to clean it before you put it away. You don't have to take it apart and clean it or whatever. You're not going to use it on Pesach. You're selling it with your chametz. Any chametz that's on it is sold to the goy. Just put it in the, what's it called, in a separate cabinet, where you put all the other chametz sticker things that you're selling to the goy, and sell it to the goy. The places, obviously, benchers and children's toys have to be gone through very well, right, cleaned off from all the sticky mass of things that usually collects on children's toys. Benchers should be put away and sold with your chametz, and not used on Pesach. Use haggadahs that you don't use during the year for benchers and Shabbos benchers or whatever. Those for sure you bring to the table. Those for sure, if you want to, you have to walk, go to every page by page, clean them, check them if you want to use them for Pesach. Okay, and otherwise, every other place where it's normal to bring in chametz, you have to clean the room well, and make sure of briefcases, pocketbooks, pockets of clothing, where if you are of the custom of eating, you know, out of your pockets or whatever, and keep chametz in your pockets, then you have to check the pocket. If you never put chametz in the pockets of your clothing, right, then you don't have to check your pockets because you never put chametz there. So all those kinds of places have to be checked, and when you vacuum your house, you should make sure that before Pesach you get rid of the vacuum cleaner bag, so it doesn't remain over Pesach with all that chametz in your house in your vacuum cleaner bag. So that is Gabe cleaning the house. Okay, and now, any questions on cleaning the house? Not koshering, not the kitchen, just cleaning the house. Any questions? Yeah.
Something that the Rav mentioned, the bathroom, which is usually a place that most people don't make chametz when you're sandwiching. But you have like soaps and shampoos and stuff like that that aren't chametz. Is that considered a place that...
Yeah, those kind of things are nikudati. We'll see which kind of cosmetics or whatever you have to put away with your chametz. There, it's not a question of cleaning the bathroom. It's a question of taking those things out and putting them with your chametz. That's all. It's products. But you don't have to worry that maybe a little bit of your shampoo spilled on the floor and you go scrape it with a razor blade so you don't have shampoo on your floor during Pesach. That's not necessary. Yeah.
Books that I ate
the
grain
from here. Books that you ate?
When I was eating, they were on my...
right, table, yeah.
Table. So do I have to clean them?
No. You don't have to.
I'm not taking them back.
Right. If you're going to bring them, if you're going to bring them to the table on Pesach, then you have to go through them page by page and make sure there's no crumbs. If you don't plan to use them by the table on Pesach, you're going to use them, but not by a table where you're eating, then you don't have to go through them at all. And even if there's crumbs, the crumbs are bottled. But crumbs aren't bottled when they fall into your food. Then there's a problem. Any women, any questions on this? Okay, let's go to the next thing. Kashering your kitchen. Let's go, what's it called, item by item. Start with, yes, here, items, let's use this. Refrigerators. So refrigerators, okay. Refrigerator has to be cleaned out well, washed down, the shelves. Places where chametz could have fallen and could get exposed, fall out again, crumbs or whatever, you should either clean out well with a toothpick or a Q-tip or something like that, or pour bleach into that crack in that area where there could be crumbs to make the crumbs totally not edible, and then even if they fall into food, you may have a health problem, but you won't have any chametz problem. Freezers should be, if they have to be defrosted and cleaned out well. You don't have to cover the shelves of refrigerators, especially the shelves that you don't put food directly on. We always put it on a plate or in a container or whatever. If you had the drawers or whatever where your mamish kept chametz directly there, not in containers or whatever, especially, I can't imagine how you could do that, the liquid chametz or whatever, then it's a good idea to clean it off and to cover it. But otherwise, I don't see that it's really in lemaisa. You don't have to cover. Some people are machmer to cover the shelves. If you cover them, you should cover them with something that has air holes in it so the air can circulate in your refrigerator. Because if you cover it with something that does not have air holes, then the air will not circulate, and it's very bad for the motor of your refrigerator, and also it's bad for the food. On the other hand, if you do cover it with something and do make holes, you shouldn't make the holes so big that the covering is irrelevant. So, okay, we'll forget about the mice and helm that fits that. But you cover it, find a way. They sell special refrigerator coverings for Pesach that have little holes in them and let the air circulate. Again, it's not necessary. Okay. Sinks. If you have sinks that are made of
porcelain
sinks, they can't be kosher. So what you do is you clean them well. You don't have to kosher them. You don't have to pour boiled water in them because it doesn't help. So why waste time? So what you do is you clean them well. It may be an idea to boil up water, and when we talk about boiling up water, you can boil it in any kli that was not used for chametz within 24 hours. Okay? So can you have a chametz stick of kli that wasn't used for chametz within 24 hours and can use that for kashering? If you use a Pesach stick of kli for kashering, then you can't use that kli for Pesach unless you kasher it. So it's better, therefore, to use a kli either that's stam used for kashering or that had been used for chametz during the year that is clean and hasn't been used for 24 hours. And then it's an idea to pour boiling water over the spigot where the water comes out, and to replace the filter, if you have a filter there, is ideal. If you pour the boiling water over it with the filter, it's also okay. If you can't replace the filter, it's also okay. But the chatchili should replace the filter. You don't have to pour boiling water over the knobs. Right? You just have to clean them well, clean the sink well. It's preferable to pour some bleach or something similar down the drain or Drano to clean out the drain, so just in case you have a drain that gets stuffed up over Pesach, that the contents that are in that drain don't come up and contaminate your sink with maybe chametz. So once you, before Pesach, when you're not going to use chametz anymore in that sink, pour bleach down the drain. Whatever's in that drain is reduced to non-edible. If you have, so, and then you have to get a sink insert. These plastic things that you wash your dishes in, those plastic things that are for Pesach. And, they have to have some kind of drain in them, I guess, unless you always fill them up and then just pour the water into the sink. If they have a drain, then they're exposed to the bottom of the sink. So you should raise them a little bit above the sink level. They should be raised above, let the water then drain through that drain, or get a pipe and connect it to a drain at the bottom and let it go down the sink, then it can sit on the bottom. The dishes are washed in that tub, not in the sink itself, and the tub therefore should be high enough that the dishes don't come in contact with the sides of the sink. If you have a stainless steel sink, you can kasher it. You shouldn't use it for 24 hours with anything hot, chametz stick, before Pesach. And this year you can kasher it all Friday if you want to. You have to. Right? Preferably it should be kashered before midday Friday, Erev Pesach. And you don't use it for 24 hours with hot. Clean it well. It should be cleaned very well. It should be perfectly clean and dry. And then you take water that's boiling and pour it over the entire surface, the inner surface, the sides of the sink, and over the spigot, and it's then kosher l'Pesach. Some people are machmir, and it probably is preferable to do that, to put hot metal, things that you heat up on a fire, in the sink, that when you pour the boiling water, it remains boiling when it hits the surface of the sink because of these hot metal things. That is preferable, but it's, if you didn't do that, or if you don't do that, you don't have the ability to do that, right? That's also okay. That's koshering sinks. Next, countertops. So if you have a stainless steel countertop, you surely can kosher it the same way we just said with the sink. If you have marble, it depends what kind of marble. Some marble can be koshered, some marble cannot be koshered. You have to check and see. I'm not going to go through all the different here. We don't have, you know, all these expensive marble countertops in the moshav. Most of them are the cheap, not even marble, just look like marble, or maybe they were made out of marbles. And those are not kosherable. And therefore, clean them off good. If you don't have something you can kosher, right, even if you do, the minig is, by many people, to kosher them and then to cover them. But the truth is, if you're covering them, there's no reason to kosher them. So clean them off good, cover them with something that is not porous. There's obviously wet things going to go there and they'll disintegrate. Something that has body to it, like linoleum, or a few layers of what's it called? You know what linoleum is? The few layers. Something like that. or a few layers of aluminum foil, heavy-duty aluminum foil, and not paper or whatever, and something that has some kind of body to it that will last, tape it down well, and after you clean the surface, it's enough just to cover it. Okay. Tabletops, the same thing. Clean them well, cover them with a covering that will stay there all of Pesach. One covering, could be a tablecloth, or it could be a table cover. It could be linoleum also. Or it could be heavy-duty aluminum foil. That stays on the table the entire Pesach, and then on top of that goes your tablecloth. Or you can put a tablecloth down that will stay there the entire Pesach, and put another tablecloth on top of that to use, what's it called, for milchiks, fleishiks, whatever. Okay, next is range top, the burners. Most people here have gas, so the gas burner tops, you should clean out very well the place where the burners sit. Some people buy pans, drip pans, and you don't have to change the place where the gas comes out. Just put on the flame; it burns up anything that comes in there. The tripod that the pots sit on have to be koshered. You can either kosher them by putting them in the flame and leaving them long enough for the entire surface that touches the pots, or really the entire surface, even if the part doesn't touch the pots, becomes red hot. And in the daytime, you won't see that. You do it at night, close the lights, and see when it starts to glow, and each part around, that's fine. So, or you can put it in somebody's self-cleaning oven. Take those tripods, that's where they're curled, and put them into the self-cleaning oven, and that will kosher it. The area between the burners, where you put down pots, can't be koshered, basically. You clean it well, cover it with heavy-duty aluminum foil or two layers of regular aluminum foil, and then it's fine. That's the top. I think people have electric stove tops, not gas. Just leave it on till it gets red hot. And that's enough. Anybody here has a Corningware top or whatever? I don't think we've reached that madriga yet. Someday. In any case, the oven itself. The oven itself, I suggest that if you want to do it properly, you should get an oven insert. If you don't have one, measure your oven, the inside measurements of the oven. And get an insert that will fit into your oven. You take out the racks, okay, and you get, there are racks that are made. There's places that make, most of them are in Meisharim or probably in other places also, that make these oven inserts. You clean your oven well with oven cleaner, and before Pesach, you don't have to kosher it. All you do is put in this insert. It has its own shelves that are just for Pesach, and you bake inside that insert. Now, my wife will tell you that it doesn't work that good. Okay? I can't vouch one way or the other. The food tasted to me okay. Just maybe it took a few more hours to cook or whatever. I don't know exactly what the problem was. But, okay, speak to my wife if you want to know if it works or not, if it's good, I just spend money on that. But that is, kashrus-wise, the best thing you can do. Or buy an oven just for Pesach. That's another possibility. If you can't afford to buy another oven for Pesach, right, then this insert is not all that expensive, and it is kashrus-wise, halacha-wise, a good idea. However, if for some reason you can't do that, it's too expensive, can't do it, or whatever, then you can rely on the following, okay? And I will eat from your oven if you don't have an insert, and you do this also. And that is the following. That you clean out the oven well with oven cleaner. You leave it 24 hours not used for chametz. And then you turn it up to the highest heat that it goes to and leave it on for an hour or two till it reaches the highest heat it could possibly reach. If it has a top coil and a bottom coil, switch from time to time from the top to the bottom so the heat gets evenly distributed. And after that, and the racks, however, that's not good enough for it. The racks, either you should take and put in somebody's self-cleaning oven or blowtorch them. And they'll be kashering here sometime before Pesach and be announced. And they do the racks also with a blowtorch.
Yeah.
So if you bring your racks up, the you can have your racks blowtorched here. I don't advise, it is halachically probably better, but I don't advise it at all, to do a third way. And that is to blowtorch the inside of your oven. Okay? Not just the racks. The racks you take out of the oven when you blowtorch them. But to blowtorch the sides of the oven. And not to rely on leaving it on to the highest heat. It's better halachically, and probably you have no problem with baking anything or cooking anything in that oven over Pesach, because it probably won't work. So it'll be really good. And then you'll have to buy another oven and buy right before Pesach, and it'll be excellent halachic. Unless you really know what you're doing, you're probably going to kill the thermostat on the spot, and the rest of the oven most probably also, and at worst, you will cause a gas explosion also. And then you won't have to worry about the rest of your house. So,
very cautious.
Right. So I strongly don't advise you to blowtorch your oven. Either get another oven, get an insert if you want to be machmer. If you don't want to be machmer, rely on kashering the racks with a blowtorch or in somebody's self-cleaning oven, and kashering the inside walls of the oven by cleaning it well, leaving it on to the highest heat. And I can't say b'dieved. It's not l'chatchila, but it's not b'dieved either. So that's acceptable if there's a good reason why you can't do the other way. Okay. Next.
Self-cleaning oven
default. Next. Self-cleaning oven, yeah. Self-cleaning oven, all you have to do is turn it on self-clean if it works. How do you know if it worked or not? If when you open it up, right, there's not comets oozing out of the things that looks like never got burnt. If you see that there's, it, you put it on and the, all there is left after you open it is dust, ashes, then it worked. Okay, sometimes you have to do it a second time, because here the pressure of the gas isn't as strong as it is in, not the gas, the electric. Most of them are gas. So here, the ones that are, there are electric ones, but the ones that are, what's it called, the gas, sometimes the pressure of the gas isn't as strong here as it's supposed to be according to the specifications of the oven, and you have to do it twice. It's also preferable, you have to look at your oven and see how it works. Most self-cleaning ovens, there's a shield that when you self-clean, closes off the door. And therefore the door doesn't become kosher. So, and when you use it, they, especially the glass, never, the heat never hits there. It's, there's a shield that shields it. So then, if that's the case, and it's most of them like that, if you have a self-cleaning oven, it's preferable to take aluminum foil. And again, whenever we say aluminum foil, I mean heavy-duty aluminum foil or two layers of aluminum foil, and tape it to the, even with masking tape, it'll stay, won't burn, to the door, and cover the door on the inside of the door. The outside of the oven, the knob should be clean, shouldn't be full of chametz or whatever, should be clean, and take off the knobs, clean out underneath them, and that's how you kosher your oven. Okay. Next. Refrigerators, ovens, sinks, anything else? Dishwashers. If you happen to have a dishwasher, right, you should wash your hands, wash their hands, and make sure that they didn't use chametz before. If you happen to have an electric dishwasher, anybody here have an electric dishwasher? No? Okay. Yeah? Okay. So if it's stainless steel, there's a way to kosher it, but you really have to get new racks. And most of the time the new racks cost as much or more than a new dishwasher. So if you, for some reason you have other racks and you have a stainless steel dishwasher, there's ways of koshering it. If it's not stainless steel, if it's plastic walls on the inside and you don't have new racks, then close it up, clean it out, sell it with your chametz, and clean your hands and use that as a dishwasher for a Pesach. What else could people possibly... Nobody has garbage compactors here. What other things do we have in the kitchen? What? Shabbos plata. Okay. Plata, if... basically, all platas. Clean off well, cover with aluminum foil, and you can use it and leave it on to get the hottest that it does. Cover it with aluminum foil, and that's good enough. Shabbos urns. I go through this every year. If you segregated your Shabbos urn from any contact with chametz during the year, which again is hard for me to believe that that's the case, okay? That means you didn't put your challahs on top of your Shabbos urn to get warm, or you didn't wash it in the same sink with your Motzei Shabbos chametz sticky dishes, but it remained separate, not where something could splash on it from your cholin pot or whatever, right, or your soup. Right, it was totally segregated, then it should probably be enough just to clean it off, maybe just to be extra careful, boil up water in it and let it go down through the spigot, and you can use it for Pesach. If what I said does not apply to your Shabbos urn, then get a Shabbos urn for Pesach and use that and put the other one away with the chametz. Okay. Anything else in the kitchen? Microwave. Microwave, there's two possibilities what you could do. If your microwave is stainless steel inside, then you can kosher it. What you have to do is get a different plate, the glass on the bottom. Get something different. You don't have to get another glass. You can get a paper, a plastic plate, put it there. Right? You don't have to be fancy for Pesach. So you don't have to spend money of getting replacement part of that glass. Take out the glass that you use normally. Clean the walls well, including where the fan is. Clean that area that there's nothing there. What's it called? No mamoshes of chametz. And then take water that you begin to boil on the stove in a pot. Don't put the pot in your microwave and turn the microwave on, because then you have no problem using that microwave ever again. Mm-hmm. Put the water then into a microwavable bowl. Put it in the microwave and continue it boiling inside the microwave until the microwave fills up with steam and the walls fill up with steam, and that will kosher it. Again, you shouldn't use the microwave in all these cases 24 hours before you do this. 24 hours for chametz before you do this. And that is kosher. If your microwave on the inside is plastic, not stainless steel, then this doesn't help. You can't kosher it like that. There is a way... what you can do. I did it 1 year. I don't advise doing it. And that's building yourself an insert to the microwave, not metal. An insert to the microwave that's made out of either styrofoam or what do they call that thing that they sell for projects? The things that, what is it called? Cowcar? Something like that. Things they make the projects with. So this is a project. You make an insert that covers all the walls except for the fan. You leave a place where the fan, that fan is very important in the microwave. So it has to be exposed. That's okay. But other than the fan, everything should be covered, top, bottom, sides, and door on the inside. And get a different plate for the bottom. And theoretically, that will be fine. The only problem, okay, we set up the problems. I have my problems. I'm not exactly adept at doing these things. And if you do it and you know how to do it properly, that's okay. Next. Anything else?
Stainless steel and paper.
Stainless steel what?
Microwaves. They have paint over the steel.
Yeah, that's probably not a problem. The coloring is not a problem. Yeah. The garbage disposal in the bottom of the sink, pour bleach into it or something, that other kind of cleaner, Drano, or I don't know if you can. You have to read it and see if it's okay. Some of them you'll destroy things. But what you're allowed to put down there that will destroy any of the chametz that's there, that's enough to do.
It wasn't totally clear to me regarding the countertop. If it is a natural granite countertop that can be koshered by pouring boiling water,
then you can kosher it, and mi'ikr hadin, you don't have to cover it. Many people have the minhag to cover it anyway. If you're going to cover it anyway, don't bother kashering. Don't waste your time. But if you're not going to cover it, and halachically you don't have to, if you kasher it properly, you don't have to cover it.
How do you kasher it?
By pouring boiling water over it. Here, it's not that necessary to put hot things down, because you never use it mamish with iri mamish. So there it's enough just to pour the boiling water, right, directly from something that was boiling on the fire, and that kashers it after it's cleaned. Yeah.
Should one do the
taps first? Should one do the, what are the taps? The taps are where
water comes out? Water comes out. Should one do that before doing the thing?
Why?
Because otherwise you've got something not coming into your tap.
But you don't have the tap on when you're kashering it.
No,
you've got comments
on the tap.
Ah, I hear.
Then it's going into the thing which you already kashered.
For like 2 months.
You got rid of it by boiling.
There's a tumor transfer there.
You
have to kasher the thing. You kasher the thing, but the liya now goes into the sink. It's probably not a problem halachically, but never thought of it before. Yeah, it's probably better to kasher before you kasher the bottom of the sink. But if you didn't do it like that, it's okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. I don't know what these, you know, what it is. I don't know. The who? Guideline says no, then it's no. It's, again, some of these things are mixtures of synthetic things and real stone or marble can be kashered. If it's not real stone or marble, it's a mixture of synthetics, then it has a din of klicheris and it can't be kashered. So it really depends on the metzias. I really don't know what. Yeah. I can't hear you. The handle of
the faucet handle.
Ah, you just have to clean them well. You don't have to kasher them. What? Cover them? No. When you turn the hot water, cold water things on, you want to cover them because they're hay. But if they're clean, you don't have to cover them. And you don't. No chametz comes in. Which should have. If you have a sink, and you have dishes, and there's a backdrop to the sink, so and the dishes touch that. That should be covered. But if the dishes don't come in contact with the knobs, right, only your hands when you turn it comes in contact with that and it's clean, then there's no reason to cover it. What? Very nice. You touch a lot of things with your dirty hands. You don't have to jump. I'm sure that sometimes you just wipe off and all the. So don't jump into a vat of boiling water, Erev Pesach, because of that, right? You touch it, so all it has to do is be cleaned. It wasn't ever cooked with boiling water on the knobs, and you're not going to cook other things there, and you're not going to eat the knobs or put them in your mouth. So there's absolutely no reason to cover the knob. You want to cover the knobs on the sink? Because it's okay. Cover them with 4 layers of aluminum foil and a few rubber bands, and it looks from, but there's no purpose to do it.
What about knobs on the stove that might have had some flash on it from the stove?
Knobs on the stove that had things... Again, unless you're making an omelet on the knob, it's really not a problem. Right, you can touch things that are not kosher lePesach, and they come in no contact with anything else. Just so you'd be clean. That in case you decide you want to eat lunch off the knob, right? That what's left on the knob, that you won't have anything to eat. That's all. Okay. But again, if the knobs come in contact with pots, with food, without then it's a problem. But if it doesn't, it has to be clean. That's it. Yeah. Cabinets above the oven. Cabinets are not that much of a problem because sometimes they are. We had a cabinet. We had Pesach stick or what I don't know if it was in Pesach. It was nice crystalware. And then one year we opened it up and we found out it was full of schmaltz because it was right above our oven and it got caked with I don't know if it was kosher anymore. We still have it there. It's still the same way. I didn't know what to do with it. Anybody has an idea, let me know. That may be a problem. If they're mamish above where it's still hot and it just goes straight into the... Usually the wood doesn't get hot. If the steam doesn't permeate the cabinet, usually. What is a problem is a hood. if you have an exhaust hood, there the steam hits it, and when you cook on Pesach and the steam will hit it, comets can come down. That has to be clean and then covered with two layers of aluminum foil or taken off for Pesach. You can take it off. What? Yeah.
What about the walls behind the counters? Do those have to be covered?
If the food or the pots, dishes touch it, and therefore during the year the same thing, touched it and things could splash over there hot, and it could splash again on Pesach hot, yeah, they should be covered. They should be cleaned and covered. An area where there's no hot food and you clean it well, and no hot food could have ever splashed on that thing, yeah, then you don't have to worry about it. You just clean it.
So when you kosher the same,
again, you can use a chametz keli that hasn't been used for 24 hours, or a keli that's not chametz or Pesach thick, or a Pesach thicker one that you won't be able to use unless you kosher it for Pesach. Yeah. But yeah, it's okay. I meant to be able to.
Right. Can you keep
a
Shabbos there in place then, for
No, something that the thing is kept boiling. Yeah, you can do that. Another possibility is to run an iron over the layer of water that will boil up the water as you go across with the iron. All these things, I would check first that you don't electrocute yourself doing that, that it's safe to do that. Because again, then you really will have no problems with Pesach altogether. So I would be very wary of carrying around an urn that's connected in, and then having the floor wet and you in it and the urn in your hands, maybe a very shocking experience. No, seriously, it's sakonas nefashis is even more important than these chumdas of Pesach. So I'd be very careful. But if you know what you're doing, right, then these are also possible ways of doing things. Yeah. Right. Right. Even though it's a few seconds, don't wait an hour after you're holding it in the air, after you take it directly off the fire, even though what's going to happen is it's going to stop boiling as soon as you take it off the fire. That's what happens. That's okay. All right, that's what Rafi just said. What? Right. I hear. Okay, whatever. That's good also. That's just as good as putting metal in the, because then the water mamish boils till it goes out of the thing. When you take it off the fire, it's hard enough to get the boil all together. As soon as you take it off the fire, it starts boiling, but that's okay. Still okay to kosher like that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't have to dafka be covered before Pesach. When you use it, right, before you put food, plates on the table, it should have a covering on it. That's all. And to make sure that the covering doesn't get taken off and your kids start putting things on the bare table, it's good to have a covering that's there that'll last the whole Pesach that's not taken off and taken on. But if you have a folding table and as soon as you're going to use it, you cover it, right, that's fine. You don't need really two coverings. You need one covering. But if you only have one covering, that means that you're going to take it off and on throughout Pesach for milchiks, kleishiks, whatever. Right? Or one covering gets dirty, you take it off, you change it. So to avoid the problem of taking off the one covering and leaving a table bare, which then may be by mistake used just bare and it wasn't kosher, right? That's better than to have one covering on the table that will not have to be taken off for anything. Always stays there, and to have another covering on top. You know how long you have to have two coverings. It's a practical thing.
It's just a clear plastic.
Yeah, put a clear plastic down and leave that and then cover it with a tablecloth. Or there's table covers that you can, there's a million things you can use. If you want to put aluminum foil, linoleum. Yeah. What? Right. The exception to that is where you kosher things with a blowtorch. Electric kettle, yeah. You're going to pour regular water into a chametz sticker cup, without real chametz in it. There's no oatmeal in the cup. There's just it's just a cup that you're making coffee, and it happens to be that you wash that with chametz. That's okay. Yeah. No. Things that you need... A steam iron, meaning that you're using that instead of pouring, what's it called?
The counter.
Right. So the counter shouldn't have been used for chametz, hot chametz, within 24 hours. The steam iron, if you wanted to make salami with it the night before.
Nobody's used starch.
Right. You tell the yeshiva that's how they made salami. Not the yeshiva, the boys. The, no ideas. The, the iron could have been used, just you don't use it with chametz anyway, obviously. The counter should have been right. The thing you're koshering should not have been used for 24 hours with hot chametz. Yeah. Right, you didn't use it with chametz, you just cleaned it. That's okay. Okay, any other questions on this? Yeah.
The urn that you press on top,
plug
into the wall, does the outer part of the urn need to be covered? Because maybe splashed as...
If it has to be covered, then you can't use it for Pesach.
Okay, so just the outer part of it was splashed, maybe.
Yeah, but once the outer part is splashed on, and now it's used, usually the whole thing becomes chametz. Because it's not just an outer covering, right? It's part of the walls of the thing. So if you kept that in the place where chametz splashed on it, then you should get another one for Pesach and put that away with your chametz.
It's insulated. Outside is insulated.
It's just plastic. The inside is just metal. It's the one that you press under pressure.
Look, and everybody that's never felt all these things in there. Push a little top to get the water.
I never used it in my life. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I have to take a look and see what it is. If it's two kalim, notice there's a plastic and then there's metal, then the plastic has nothing to do with what's inside, doesn't get hot or anything from the inside, then the main kli is the inside one. The outside one, therefore, has no effect on the inside one. All you have to do is wash it off, and if the inside never came in contact with any chametz, then that's okay.
Well, if you don't like the device getting splashed with chametz, it's not going to very well be as well.
Okay, again, this depends on the mitzvah,
say. It's built exactly like a service. In the old days in America, the inside and outside.
Okay, it's two kalim, then the outside has no effect on the inside. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's okay, I'm again saying different things at different hours.
Self-cleaning oven, should be kosher even if it's been yomah?
A self-cleaning oven, it depends, okay? It depends halachically. Some hold that libun kal is libun for this. And that's the kasher. If it's libun, then you don't have to wait 24 hours. But some hold that it's not mitzad libun, libun kal. It's mitzad kibolo kach polto. And if it's kibolo kach polto, then you have to wait 24 hours. So therefore, it's better to wait 24 hours. If for some reason you can't, you remember that you didn't kasher it and you don't have 24 hours to wait or whatever, you can kasher it b'dieved even without 24 hours. If you're doing a self-cleaning oven. Yeah? What? Why do that? Because could be that boiling the water in the microwave itself, first of all, it takes a long time to boil where there's a lot of steam. Secondly, it could be that that's not called boiling because not on fire. So you need boiled water on fire. Right, and then you continue it boiling there. That's why, again, if you did it all in the microwave, mistama b'diav would be okay. But to be choshish for that chash, that you kasher with water that's boiled on a fire, and this is not on a fire, even though the mistaber, that whatever was in the microwave was boiled that way also, so it's kabolo kakpolto. But there is such a shita, to be machmer for that, better to boil it out, put it boiling in a plastic, continue it boiling, and then you'll save everybody.
And the sheet doesn't say you can do that with a plastic microwave rub the zombie.
Not for Pesach. Not for Pesach. For Pesach, we're machmer, not the kasher plastic. During the year, different story. But for Pesach, it's we don't. Yeah. I can't hear a word you're saying. Yeah? A little bit louder. What? I was just going to put my glasses on, but they're on. Yeah? What?
How long do you have to warm up the plasma?
Just till it gets hot. A few minutes. And so when it gets to the highest heat, it's not going to get any hotter, then turn it off. Okay. Next. People who have braces. Okay. Or false teeth. If you have false teeth, so you should not use them for hot chametz 24 hours before Pesach. And you should wash them well, and then you can use them for Pesach. You don't have to pour boiling water over them. The braces, which are removable, in other words, you have a bite plate or whatever it's called.
A retainer.
Retainer.
Yeah.
So that also you should, if you can put boiling water over, it's preferable. But if you should ask your dentist first, he may tell you to do it because they don't have to give you another one and charge you for it. But if it's not possible, some of these things are metal. Some of them are plastic. The plastic ones, I would not advise you to pour boiling water over it. Then again, clean it well. Don't use it for hot chametz within 24 hours. You could eat with it, but not hot chametz stick of things within 24 hours. And this year is a problem because it's Shabbos. But most people aren't going to be eating hot chametz on Shabbos altogether. They're going to, worse, going to be eating bread, and that's it. And everything else is going to be Pesach thick. So it's not that much of a problem. But don't use it for 24 hours with hot chametz. Clean it off well. And also glasses. Better to get things special for Pesach. But if you don't have glassware that's not used for hot liquids. No, sometimes it's used mostly for cold. Sometimes you pour some hot things in them or whatever. They're not used to store whiskey or made mamish hot chametz things. You don't make chametz like soups in them or whatever. So then you can kasher them with iri and miloy, which is you fill them with cold water, right, or warm water. It doesn't make a difference, but it can even be cold water. You get a tub, you fill it with water, you put these kalim in totally submerged for 24 hours. Then you change the water and put another 24 hours. Change the water another 24 hours. 72 hours, and after that, they are kosher l'Pesach. This is glassware that's not used for hot liquids, the ikker, right? Not used for whiskeys and the store whiskeys, like a liquor bottle or whatever. Now you could have made a l'chaim in that glass once. That's okay. What? Because it's considered something that's really charif and it permeates the thing. Then you need a kasher mamash. That's glassware. Okay, and the braces we said, anything else? What?
When you have collars, it's stuck in the braces. And to remove it, you use a special brush, but that can make it gums free.
And Pesach. And then there's Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos.
Or flossing, that's
right.
Again, I don't know. You have to be careful then not to eat things that are going to get stuck in your braces that you can't get out. Or use a toothpick. Or forget about the bleach. Maybe to use some kind of mouthwash, strong mouthwash. What?
Drano.
That's where you find.
Okay. Let's go on to the next thing. Bedikas chametz. Like we said last week, the siyum for the Bechoros is on Thursday before Pesach, not on Shabbos, obviously, which is Erev Pesach. Thursday night, which is 2 days before Pesach, is Bedikas chametz night, and it's regular like any other Bedikas chametz night. right? And you make a bitul chametz, just like every other year. You make a bracha, you make bedikas chametz, like you do every other year. And the bedikas chametz should be a serious thing. Even though you've cleaned the house and everything, but you should really check every place, because sometimes you forget things. You just need to walk around and just get the 10 things that, you know, that you hid. And the things that you hide should be things that are in a bag, so they don't get crumbs all over the place. You should have a list of where you put them, especially if you're like me, right, and will forget as soon as you put them where you put them, or those people who put them will forget it, right, and then you may never find it. The make a list, people who are putting that thing, where exactly they put them, and remember which ones you picked up and which ones you didn't pick up. And they should be less, each piece should be less than a kazayas, but all together they should be at least a kazayas. A kazayas is a middle from the cut breads, rye breads, or whatever, white breads, whatever they are. A middle slice is a kazayas, so take one piece, divide it into 10, and what's it called? That way when you burn the chametz, you're burning a kazayas, at least. And but if any one of the pieces get lost, you don't have a whole kazayas of chametz in your house that you have to look for. That's Thursday night. Friday, that's when we're going to sell the chametz to the goy on Friday. We're going to be makpid to sell it before the time that you normally have to sell it during a regular year, even though b'di'evid, it could be sold the whole day, mamish till a minute or two before Shabbos. So what we're going to do is bake a tznai with the goy this year, even though we do it every year, but then it's less shaila, whether it's halachically possible to make such a tznai, but we do it anyway. This year we're going to make a special tznai with the goy that the kinyan's not going to be chal till a few minutes before Shabbos. So if anybody comes late, we'll be able to include him because the actual sale didn't take place yet. What else? Then Shabbos. What do you do Shabbos? So Shabbos, the thing is like this. Children who do not understand about Yetzias Mitzrayim, don't know the story, don't know what it means to be slaves or whatever, little children, you can feed them matzah Erev Pesach, both at night, Friday night, and Shabbos day, the whole day. You don't have to give them things that are not, you can give them matzah. Children that know already what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is, God-age children, right, to the kids in our God know inside out. Sipur, better than I know it. What's it called? So they're of already an educational age. You're not allowed to feed them matzah when you're not allowed to eat matzah. Shabbos, when are you not allowed to eat matzah? Many people have the meaning not to eat matzah already from Purim or from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If you don't have such a minig, you're only not allowed to eat matzah Erev Pesach. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that includes the night before too. In other words, Friday night you wouldn't be allowed to eat matzah either, and you should do that. You should not eat matzah, not Friday night, and not Shabbos. So that's out. Using that for Suda Shabbos, matzah that you could be Yotze the Seder with. And even matzah that's not Shmura matzah. Okay? You shouldn't use not Friday night and not Shabbos. Even not Shmura matzah. Because b'di'evid, you probably can be also in the Seder with that too. What you're not also not allowed to eat is anything baked with matzah meal. Baked. Cookies or whatever that were baked with matzah meal, you shouldn't eat. Things that are made by cooking. You put matzah meal in a kugel. Well, that's also baked. But that's made with liquid or whatever, or matzo balls, or gefilte fish that you use. And you're not makbid on your broths, and here it's Erev Pesach anyway, so there's for sure nothing to be makbid on. The issur of eating matzo only applies where it's baked. If it's cooked, it's okay. So you can have, what's it called, gefilte fish with matzo meal in it on Erev Pesach. What? Okay, well, or whatever.
You can't have those party cookies.
Right, cookies that have matzah meal, or they're made with matzah meal, you can't eat Erev Pesach. Not at night, not in the day.
If you hold the brachs, then
yeah.
You have a problem with
tequila. What? I don't know. I'm not... Gebrachs, now again, if you have a minig of gebrachs and you hold it at Asher Shekelin, Okay, fine. But I don't know. Again, we're not Machmer and Gebrocks. Adarabba. Where I come from, they used to hang out Knedlach, Lahotzi, Miliban, Shavu, Tzedukim. So, if you have such a minig and you don't use Gebroch, whether it asks your Kalim or not, I'm not sure. I don't know if people hold like that. I don't know. I don't think so, because most of these people, on the last day of Pesach, the eighth day, use Gebrochs and they use those Kalim again next year. Maybe they hold it after a whole year, they're makel because the whole year went by. I'm not sure. Right, but in any case, that's... If you hold from Gebrochs, find out what your minig is. And
they hold that it's the whole year passes by, and then the shaila is, but you have it's minus 8 days.
So what do you eat? You have to be Yotzei Suda Shabbos. So there's a few possibilities. The best possibility is to leave over some chametz and use that for the minimal Suda Shabbos. That means you have some rolls, pita, something that you can make a motzi on normally, and you eat preferably a kebeya of it, or at least a kezias for each of the meals. In other words, Friday night meal and the Shabbos meal, and you leave over just enough for everybody to be yotze, not more, so you don't have a lot to throw away. And that's it. And you finish it, you eat it. If there's any crumbs, you flush them down the toilet before there's man that you're not allowed to eat chametz. Before the time you have to get rid of the chametz, and that's it. That's the best thing to do.
Are you allowed to eat that? I mean, is that excluded from the sale to the goy? It's done the day before.
Yeah. The day before, we exclude from the sale what's it called, those things that you're going to be using. Also, that's why the next day when you burn the chametz on Friday, you don't say bitl chametz. Because you can't say, right, all the chametz that I have should be bottled, even the one I saw, because you're going to eat it the next day.
Did you say it at night?
There you don't say. There you just say what you didn't say. Say it at night, you don't say it in the daytime, and you make bitl chametz Shabbos morning. At the time that start the Isra of Achilas chametz, you say bitl chametz. We'll get to that. What? We're going to get to that. We'll slow up by Friday night. Okay, so either you leave chametz, bread, and you eat that, and then if you're eating exactly an amount or whatever and you're controlling your kids, right, then you don't have to worry about the crumbs getting all over the house or whatever. It's all contained. You get rid of it before this man that you have to get rid of your chametz by flushing it down the toilet. That's the best. If you can't control that kind of situation, then there's another possibility, and that is to use egg matzah instead of bread. But egg matzah is a problem, because some people hold that you can't use just a kezias or a kebeya of egg matzah. You have to eat enough that some people hold you have to eat as much of egg matzah itself that would be considered kviya suda, which is probably close to a box of egg matzah for each person. That's if you hold like that, I don't suggest you do that, unless you're very, very thin. And don't really want to eat anything but egg matzah on Shabbos. There is an opinion that says that since you're koveya suda, if you eat the normal amount that you would eat together with a meal with all the other things you're eating, which is probably enough to eat a whole matzah. That's usually an amount that people eat with a meal, not less than that, but a whole matzah, right, then that should be sufficient, and you can make a motzi on it, and you bench on it, and you yotzei suda Shabbos. Again, because there's all these different opinions, I don't suggest that that's the best thing to do, unless you know that if you're going to use bread or pitas, you're going to really have problems of containing it. Now, therefore, some people use the bread or the pitas, and they eat outside, or whatever. So they don't get their house, you know, again, contaminated with chametz. Or they eat everything without any pesachdik of things around, everything on disposable things, at least after the motzi. Then they get rid of all the crumbs and everything, and then continue the meal without eating any more bread. Because otherwise, you have pesachdik of stuff, usually, right, that are coming to the table, and you have all these crumbs there, and there's, right, so the best thing is to use disposable things, And not to bring the pots, the peso-thicker pots, to the table. You're not using chametz-thicker stuff. I mean, they used to make chametz-thicker things in the morning, and then all different. Today, most people make all their hot foods for Shabbos peso-thick already. Their house is already kashered, changed over, obviously. And the only chametz you have is the cold bread, pita, and you segregate that completely from anything except for the disposable things, and that's how you eat Suda Shabbos. That's what I suggest you do. You want to, again, you feel that you can't do that, and you want to use the egg matzah, b'dieved, you can use the egg matzah, but you should eat at least one whole matzah for the meal. Yes? What? Whose shita is that? It's the shita that you could be b'tzarif, all the other food, but it has to be a normal amount that you eat with that meal, with that amount of food. You can't eat just a little piece of mizonos and be called your kovea suda on the mizonos. It has to be what your kovea suda together with the other thing. I'm a shire, the mishama, what a person eats during a meal is a matzah. More than that, mishama you don't have to have. And less than that, I'm not sure where exactly, two-thirds, three-quarters, or whatever, so a matzah seems to be mishama. Yeah. Garbage obviously is not going to be taken away on Shabbos. And if it's mamish just crumbs, and you throw it into the garbage and it's finished, I wouldn't worry about that. If it's more than crumbs, then either you should flush it down the toilet, or if it's really a lot more, right? For instance, you totally miscalculated how much bread you need, and for some reason you have a lot left. I remember last time this happened, that's what we had. And if we were to flush it down the toilet, right, it wouldn't have been a toilet.
You just drink
it. Right, not a Shabbos. So we soaked it in bleach. We took all the bread in this gigantic barrel, filled it with bleach, and it stayed there. It was really
Did you sell your chametz? You just put it in the cupboard with your chametz.
Yeah, but the sale of the chametz was chow before Shabbos.
Yeah, but you're eating, so you're eating, how could you eat stuff that was sold?
Because that wasn't sold. And now there's nothing to be chow anymore with what you sold, because that didn't go on that. So you can't now make it l'mafreya sold.
Well, just sell it all before. Put that in the sale also.
You're selling, right, you're eating the goy's bread on Shabbos.
That's what we'll do, eating bread on Shabbos. It's the same extra 10 shekels.
And whatever's left over is his, and you can throw that away.
Yeah.
No, put it in
the
cupboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have to think about it. But not so posh. Yeah, but the best thing is just to get rid of it. Everybody here has a toilet. They can flush the things down. Or, if you have bleach, which you can have plenty of, obviously, for before Pesach, you can, use that, yeah?
Assuming that whatever kind of bread it is of a bunch of little kids, you can't control it. I mean, the clothes are going to be on the furniture, and it's going to be wherever. Eating outside is okay to make hamotzi, let's say outside, and there's crumbs in the rebeth, it's not like, you know...
You make kiddush and hamotzi in the same place.
And then you can eat the rest of the meal inside.
And eat the rest of the meal, you have kavanah to finish your meal inside. Yeah, it could be that since you're not eating any more bread inside, if you can't see the place that you started eating, from where you're continuing eating, it's preferable to go back and bench in the first place.
If you can see through a window, it's okay?
You can see through a window, you can bench where you want.
Is that what I feel the best idea to do?
I don't know. The best idea to do is whatever fits your family. I gave you possibilities. Whichever possibility fits your family based on that, that's the best thing to do. Yeah. Only up to the time that you can't eat chametz.
Okay, so two questions.
And the same thing goes with egg matzah. After the time you can't eat chametz, which is about 10 o'clock, something like that, this year, 10-something, right? It was the time you can't eat chametz. 10 o'clock Shabbos morning, you can't eat egg matzah anymore, and you can't eat kidneys. But we didn't get to Shabbos for this year. We're still holding by Friday night.
Lunch,
yeah. Yeah, we're still holding by lunch. But then we get to, everything has to be finished before the time that you have to stop eating hummus. That includes eating kidneys, includes eating egg matzah, and any real hummus.
Okay, for us.
Before 10 o'clock. What? You can have it. You just have to stop eating it before the time that you can't eat hummus.
You can't
use those kalim for Pesach then. No. If you make kidneys and kalim, the kalim can't use for Pesach. Yeah. Well, okay, we didn't speak about anything about, we didn't get to the morning yet. Yeah? How much?
Pita.
Pita? How much pita is a kazayas? It's hard to tell. There are standard pitas.
The kazayas books say more like a quarter.
Quarter of a pita? Okay. Somewhere between a quarter and a half of a pita. To what? What, the chametz?
Yeah.
No, because a communal garbage can is a communal garbage can. It belongs to everybody. It doesn't belong to nobody. So we'll all own the chametz together. Stamets not hefker. It belongs to the dumpster belongs to the moitza. And it's leased to the moshav. The stamets, whatever in there belongs. If you throw something in there, right, for instance, you throw something that is miyamachker, and some it belongs to the moshav, they decide they want to get it. Yeah. Crumbs that are less than a kazayas. Crumbs that are less than a kazayas, okay, first of all, you shouldn't shake them out into the wind. You shouldn't shake them out into the wind where the wind blows them. That's a separate problem. It's a Shabbos problem. But if you shake them, you know, just down onto the ground, and there's less than a kazayas of crumbs, then you can assume that the birds are going to eat it, it's hefker, and that's okay. And it right away goes, if there's more than a kazayas, what? Can't do what? You're not doing it to feed the birds, but you're hoping the birds will come and eat it. You're not feeding birds. Your kavan is to just get rid of the crumbs. You can do that. You should not, again, shake it into the wind where the wind blows the crumbs, but you can, shake it onto the ground. If it's less than a kazayas, it's probably okay, but again, it's better to put it down the toilet. If it's a kazayas in one place altogether, even though they're little crumbs, then you can't do that. Then you have to know for sure that an animal came and ate it. Children under bar mitzvah can eat egg matzah on Pesach. Children under bar mitzvah who can't eat regular matzah can eat, what's it called? There's a reason why you want to give them egg matzah. It's easier for them to eat or whatever. That's okay. Okay for them to eat after this man. I don't know the difference between a child, and the problems are problems that maybe it's not a motzi, and therefore you're not yotzi the mitzvah chinuch either. Elamai, you want to be mako by a kid, it's only a mitzvah chinuch, only the rabbanon anyway. Maybe. I said that in the past. I could see it, that there's such a thing, but I don't know. Better everybody do the same thing. Again, if he's going to eat a whole matzah, that the kid doesn't eat that much altogether. The kid, you could be mako for a different reason. That's the reason why I was saying that. Because kids don't eat that much. So the normal amount they eat with a meal is less than, depends how old the kid, 12-year-old, may eat more than anybody else. A little kid usually eats less matzah, then it may be less of a problem. Give him a half a matzah. together with the meal. Egg matzah. Maybe. But if you're going to do something, do it with everybody the same and watch the crumbs. Who? Yeah.
Last year someone told me the most important place is the bikas in your refrigerator.
In your refrigerator?
Because if you keep coming in there, you have to do the bikas. Never thought.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. If everything in your refrigerator is already, what's it called, Pesachtik, you should open it up and look around and see. You don't have to go in the churim that is darkened because you put bleach there already anyway.
People so, keep coming in there for breakfast.
So if you do, look and make sure you know where it is or whatever. Yeah. You should open it up and look in there, yeah, just in case you forgot something. Okay. Next, Shabbos morning meal. So the morning, if you're going to be using chametz or even egg matzah or eating anything that's kidneyous, you have to finish that part of the meal by the time that it's also to eat chametz, which is, again, somewhere around 10 o'clock. Not exactly. It could be a few minutes later, whatever, but it's around, imagine around 10 o'clock. You can eat and continue the meal after that. But those things that you're not allowed to eat, when you're not allowed to eat chametz, you have to stop eating when you're not allowed to eat chametz. And again, that includes egg matzah, kidneys, and real chametz, obviously. The rest of the meal, you can continue. Just that part of the meal has to be finished by then. The problem then is shalosh shudas. L'chatchila, you have to eat shalosh shudas after chatzos. That's l'chatchila, to be yotzei shalosh shudas. After chatzos, there's nothing you can eat to have a meal. You can't eat egg matzah. I mean, because you can't do just that. You can't eat matzah because it's erev Pesach. You can't eat chametz because it's also to eat chametz. So therefore, what some people do is they eat shalosh shudas early, meaning they split their morning meal and finish all the chametz, egg matzah possibilities before 10 o'clock. You eat two meals before 10 o'clock, but you don't have to eat all two meals. What you have to do is eat one meal, bench, have a few minutes break, so you at least have some idea that you want to eat again. So you ate your first meal partial. You didn't eat a big meal, obviously, till 10 o'clock, till 9 o'clock. Or you didn't eat any big meals. You ate whatever. You ate the entree. You made that. You ate some fish or maybe some meat. And it's preferable to do that because the first meal should be the main meal. So you ate some meat, what's it called, and you didn't eat dessert. You benched, took a little walk, came back for dessert, and now you're going to wash for dessert. This is all before 10 o'clock. Then you wash again, you eat your pizza or your egg matzah, and you're finished with that part of the meal by 10 o'clock. And then you can continue the meal after that, right? But by 10 o'clock, you have to be finished with the bread, chametz part of the meal, and get rid of your chametz. And then you can continue the meal after that. So that's another possibility. Or some people don't do that, and they just eat shalosh shudas with fruit, or preferably fish. You could eat, like we said, gefilte fish, even if it has matzah meal in it. Or you can eat cakes with matzah meal that are not made by baking, but made other ways. I don't know what that means. What? A knedel you can eat, and you eat that for shalosh shudas. I think we had fish, gefilte fish for shalosh shudas. That was the last time. No. The gefilte fish, probably the mezonos in that is just to give it texture and hold it together. It's not for taste.
So there's
no benching for that? No benching, yeah. Baruch HaKrom. Whatever. According to Fashas.
Can you eat two meals Friday night?
Can you eat two meals? You can eat 10 meals Friday night because you're not yotzi anything more than... No, you have to eat two meals in the daytime to be yotzi shalosh shudas.
You have to be yotzi?
Yeah.
What about eating schnitzel that's fried with matzah meal?
Schnitzel that's fried with matzah meal, erev Pesach. I think most poskim hold it's okay. Frying is not, there's a shaila whether frying is like baking or like cooking. For this, you could be baking. Since it's not, And especially if you're not using shmura matzah meal. Using regular matzah meal, which you're not going to use for the Seder, there's another reason to be mako. Mustama, that's okay. What? For a schnitzel? For Erev Pesach? If you're going to use it cooked, like in gefilte fish, there's no, you can use real any matzah. Frying may be considered baking and not cooking. It's a machlokas. And therefore, fried matzah meal is also awesome. Okay? But since it's a shaila, and the whole thing is not so clear that matzah that you can't use for the Seder is, what's it called, is not osir. You can eat real matzah as long as you can't use it for the Seder. So therefore, it's a chumrah on a chumrah on a chumrah to be machmer on fried stuff. So especially if you can't use that matzah meal for the Seder, and it's fried, then it can be made. Not shmura matzah. No. Why? But you only use shmura matzah meal in your kalib?
Yeah,
I understand, but if you use regular, it doesn't make you kalib that kosher. It's a midig not to eat anything with shmura matzah. It's not chavit. It doesn't make your kalib a problem. It's a chumrah to only be machmir, to only shmura matzah or shmura matzah there. But that makes your kalib trait. It's nobody does. What? Ah, right. If you don't eat anything but shmura matzah meal, then you wouldn't be able to eat that schnitzel on Pesach.
You with your baby, your little kid.
Right. Maslama, if you have that problem, and you're eating it after, what's it called, after the time that you can't eat matzah for sure. I have to check to see how much, who's machmir on the frying. If the frying is not really, most people hold it's okay, then even if you use shmura matzah, it's okay. What? Right. Right. You can eat that for Shalosh Shudas, what's it called, after Chatzos. However, you have to stop eating altogether by the 10th hour. 10th hour is somewhere, I think this year, about 4 o'clock. Shouldn't eat Shalosh Shudas after 4 o'clock.
Which of those two suggestions should option is preferable? 2 meals before 10 or the fish meal in the afternoon?
Some people do both. That way your yotze say somehow. Okay? If you have a choice, one or the other, which is better? Not sure. Either one has a chesaron. If you can do both, matovu manoyim, could be you're still not yotzei kohen anyway. There were people who know you can't be yotzei shalosh shuvos. That's it. Finish. This is one Shabbos when you can't be yotzei shalosh shuvos. Right. Well, don't care for it.
Fried matzah.
Yeah. Could you just eat bread and then make the second suda with all your every food? Not really. You could, but it's not preferable. But the reason is that the first suda you eat on Shabbos should be your main suda. And Shabbos suda should be the secondary suda. If you do that way, your first suda is almost no suda. It's only a halachic suda, and your main suda is the second one. That's not preferable. Even when you go to a hotel or whatever, and sometimes they have a kiddush, and they wash, and they count that as the first meal, and then they have the second meal, which is the main meal, which they count that as Shavuot Shudas, and they don't serve you a Shavuot Shudas. In some hotels, or here in Israel at least, in America they serve you 8 meals on Shavuot Shudas.
Yeah, but they don't serve you Shavuot Shudas.
Right. That's not preferable. It's preferable that the main meal be the first meal that you eat on Shabbos, not the second meal. Yeah. No. What the preferable thing is, wash for the main meal, the first meal, leave off dessert, and wash for dessert in the second meal. That's the best way of doing it.
It's the bigger time crunch.
What?
It's the bigger time problem.
Yeah, I hear. Because you never need more of a meal, right. If you did it the other way, again, it's preferable. You don't say the other way. You made the smaller meal first and then the larger meal. But the chatchila, to do it like that, it's not a good thing to do. Yeah. Egg matzah?
Why isn't it allowed?
Why isn't it allowed?
Because there's some people allowed
to eat. Right, because egg matzah is really okay to eat on Pesach. It can't possibly become chametz as long as there's no other liquid, like water, mixed in with the eggs and oil or whatever. If it's pure eggs, fruit juice, with no water mixed in, then we hold that can never become chametz, and it's okay to eat on Pesach. The problem is that if you mix in even a little bit of water, it becomes chametz faster than regular. And therefore the Ramah says that the minig of Ashkenazim is, by Sfaradim that doesn't apply, only by Ashkenazim. The mitzvah by Ashkenazim is not to eat matzah ashira all Pesach, except for sick people, or elderly people, or children who can't eat regular matzah, because we're afraid that if you're going to eat egg matzah that's made with total fruit juice or total eggs or whatever, that you're going to end up putting some water in, right? It's going to be diluted, and then it's going to be chametz goma. So, therefore, the minig by Ashkenazim, brought down Shulchan Aruch, is not to eat matzah shira, the whole Pesach, from the time you're not allowed to eat chametz, for fear that you'll make it in a way that it'll be chametz goma.
I was in a hotel where they said frying matzah instead of an egg matzah is okay for Friday night.
Okay, see, that's the same shaila. Some people hold, and they think they do that in the army maybe too, they fry the matzah. So then it's not matzah that you be yotze with by the Seder, right? And you still make a mochi on it. See, if you cook the matzah, then if it wouldn't have, wouldn't look like bread anymore, right? Mamish cook it. Then you couldn't make a mochi. Then it'd be the same thing as the egg matzah. But if it's fried, it still has a din of lechem, but it's not lechem that you could use for the Seder, possibly. That's the shayla, with the fried. But still, it has suras lechem, but it's a kazayit. If it has toar lechem, but it's a kazayit, you surely make a mochi on it, even if it's fried. So that's what they do. But the problem is that it may not be that case. It may be that fried, you could be yotzim. And bedafka, because it still has suras lechem and it's a kazayit, then it's matzah. And fried matzah you could be yotzim with, too. And then it's a problem eating that matzah.
They shouldn't hold by that.
So that's not a good answer. It only helps according to some shittas, and it's better to do the opposite. Okay. Yes. Are we davening early Shabbos Erev Pesach? Yeah.
We daven Neitz. Right?
We daven Neitz? Yeah. When as early as we can, we're going to daven. Even though this year, I don't know what was the last time, or if it was daylight savings time already,
yeah,
summertime. It's always, I don't know. Not sometimes the Seder is not.
That's how it was.
But if it is, then it makes it a little bit easier. Otherwise, you have to finish everything by 9 o'clock. But this year, we have at least till 10. So, okay, now after the time that you're not allowed to eat chametz, you can't eat all these things, and then an hour later you have to get rid of your chametz and make bittul chametz. You have to remember then to get all the crumbs and everything, and should have something to either flush down the toilet or throw into the bleach or whatever, get rid of somehow, right, and make bittul chametz. Very important to remember to make bittul chametz then before the zman that you have to have the chametz burnt by. So we'll give out all the times will be given and explain what you have to do with before each time. Okay. The last thing is hechsherim, which we already said, the hechsherim that we use during the year, we use for Pesach also, and the hechsherim we don't use during the year, we don't use for Pesach. And again, I ask people that if you live here, you are required to only use the hechsherim that the moshav permits. That's part of the conditions of living here. Part of the reason is because we assume that those are the hechsherim you're using, and we allow people to make things for kiddushim or whatever. And if people would know that you're using hechsherim that they don't accept, right, that the moshav doesn't accept, then they would need from yourself. Right? If you use, you don't, you d- choose not to use Hechsher in Moshav does allow, that's fine. So don't eat in the Kiddush. But to be machshel other people into eating things that the Moshav does not accept as a good Hechsher, aside from Beinot and Lamakom, it's a Beinot and Chavero problem. Mamish Beinot, to massacre other people. And the reasons that the Hechsherim aren't good are not any kind of thing except for the fact that the information I have, they're not reliable. Not reliable enough to be considered Mahadran Hechsherim. There's serious problems with the ones that we don't use, including the Chsam Sofer, including Atarat. And again, what people do off the Moshav, Mishnah is not, not an Indian. But on the Moshav itself, you're mechuyev to follow the whole rules of the Moshav. And if you don't, it's a very serious, serious aveir. Could be the thing is kosher 100%. You have no problem kosher-wise in Shemayim. But in Shemayim, you have a very big problem of not following the minig of the place where you live. And the halachas of the place that you live. So, if you don't know which hechsherim we allow, then find out. There's a list in the office, and look at it. It's all bit small, made up a list. What's it called? For the sake of the Moshav, it's, you can see him. He'll give you a copy of it, or whatever. It's been updated recently.
It's missing Rav Machbud.
It's missing Rav Machbud? Okay, it should be there. Okay. The, okay, cosmetics, yeah. Chsam Sofer? No, believe me, I am trying, right, to get the person who tells me these things to tell me that he's changed his mind and he sees that Chsam Sofer has improved or whatever.
But,
okay, I can't give you a general rule. I understand. I understand. I can't give you a general rule. I don't mind if you call me. And most of the time, with many things, b'di'evit, it'll be okay. But don't buy it, and then call me and say, hey, I just bought this thing, and now I have it, can I use it? Right? That's not b'di'evit, okay? But l'maisa, there are certain things that even l'chatchila permit Chsam Sofer. Right? Things that really, the problems, the problem with Chsam Sofer is that they have a lot of hechsherim, which a lot of places have a lot of hechsherim, and they don't have the organization and the people over it to make it a reliable hechsher. They have good intentions, but they don't have a good organization. And that's the problem. So certain things don't need a good organization. The problems are very minimal, and they're not out to fool you, and they're minimal things. So minimal hashgacha will be good on a minimal thing. But on something that needs a lot of hashgacha, right, and this person I called to find out, I said, you know, Pesach, Rav Aaron called me. The Pesach especially, so many things with Chsam Sofer. He said, that's exactly the problem. So all the things that can't get a hechsher by other places because of problems, the Chsam Sofer takes them over. So he said, that in itself shows you that there's something there. And the person I ask is not a big machmer. He's a person who knows kashrus here in Eretz Yisrael. He's an Israeli. His father was involved in kashrus, and he runs a international organization, and he has no personal bias towards any hashgacha because he's not involved in his own personal hashgacha. He has a watchdog organization that oversees and gives information and training to all the kashrus things, and he's not afraid to tell me if something's good or it's not good. And we use here things that other people don't use. Like Rabbanut Yerushalayim Mahadra. And most of the world uses the Chsam Sofer, and we don't use it. So, okay, we always had to be different, so we must be different from the States. Yeah.
Can we
kill
one Pesach?
What? Oh, preferably not. If you have a medical reason why you have to use that, ask me. But the poskim here hold quinoa. It's a grain that the poskim here hold is kidneys. What we don't hold as kidneys here are oils that are made, the oils you can use with a good hechsher, obviously, but are not considered kidneys, even though there are people who consider them kidneys. Cottonseed oil is okay here. Many places they hold it's not okay. but it's okay here. But if you have people coming from other places that don't use cottonseed oil, don't make everything you have for peso with cottonseed oil and be mashal them, if they're not going to want to eat that. Walnut oil is okay. Grapeseed oil is okay. What else that's not kidneyous? What? We are machmir that products that have citric acid in them, that are not citric acid, that are specially prepared for Pesach, are problematic. And there are many products that use that, and we don't use them for Pesach. What they are, you can only know if you ask or whatever. And they usually, the hechsher that we hold from, most of the time, only use kosher to Pesach citric acid. What other things could be a problem?
Olive oil.
Peanut oil. I don't think you can get it even. Not here. Peanut oil you shouldn't use. Olive oil with a good hechsher is okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else besides cottonseed oil. Obviously soy oil is kidneyous. If there's a hechsher, it's only for people who eat kidneyous.
Why isn't
peanut
oil?
What? Because the minig is not to eat peanuts on Pesach. What? They're saying better not to use it. Whether it's considered kidneyous or not is a shiloh. There are those who use peanut oil even though they don't eat peanuts, and there are people who eat peanuts on Pesach even though they don't eat kidneyous. But it's preferable not to use peanuts or peanut oil on Pesach. What? Canola? Canola is kidneyous. Quinola, what? What? C-A, there's canola, that's C-A-N-O-L-A, that's kidneys. Quinola is a different kind of grain. That's quinoa, not glowing. Quinoa. That you can get in a health food store. Quinoa is, according to the poskim here in Eretz Israel, kidneys. If you need it health-wise, ask a shaila. Yeah. All figs with an OUP are okay if they don't have matzah meal in. Because the minig here is not to use any products with matzah meal that is not 18-minute matzah meal. At least. Not shmur. But that the machines are cleaned out every 18 minutes. Products that are made with matzah meal by the OU, the machines are not cleaned out every 18 minutes or even every 18 days. I don't know when they clean out. And that's regular matzahs, and we don't use that here. So those products are profitable. What? The OU does not give a hechsher to anything with kidneys unless it says on it that it's only for people. I don't think they have. They don't have such. In America, they don't have such a thing. It's only for people with kidneys. It's not. Sfardi hechsherim have that, but the regular national hechsherim, OU, okay, don't have anything with kidneys. Here, because there's a big Sfardi population, so it's not kedai not to make things that are also okay for people with kidneys. Right? They lose a good portion of the business, so they have things that say on it, it's a good hechsher, and what's it called, but it's only for people with kidneys. And even so, the Badatz does not give hechsher to anything with kidneys, even for people who eat kidneys. They don't, they're the Meshit, they don't give a hechsher. Okay. Any other questions that people have, feel free to call. If you don't get me, leave a message, and I will believe never get back to you sometime before Shavuos or whatever. What? I didn't cover cosmetics? That was a good pun, but okay. Cosmetics. Okay. The basic rule is the following. If you have a question on anything that is a liquid cosmetic or deodorant or a liquid that has denatured alcohol in it, right? SD alcohol, that's what it usually is problematic and should be put away with where you sell your chametz. That includes hair tonics, hair sprays, cologne, perfume, spray deodorant, all those things are problematic. Things that do not have alcohol in them and are totally poison, like nail polish, nail polish remover. They're no problem at all. You can use any of them. Solid cosmetics like rouge, eyeliner. Even if they may have alcohol in them, they're okay. Because they're totally not edible. And therefore, stick deodorants. And I can't use them Shabbos and Yom Tov, but are okay for Chol HaMoed, even if they have alcohols in them. Because they're not totally not edible, drinkable, or whatever. They're in solid form. The same thing goes with Roll-On, which is a cream. It's not a liquid, a pourable liquid. It's a cream. That also is okay. If you can't use that, so either you can get the spray deodorants that have been checked that don't have alcohols that come from grain, only from kidneys, or don't have alcohol b'chlal in them. Most of them have alcohol, and some of them have been checked, especially the American brands or the Israeli brands that have a hechsher. There are deodorants with a hechsher. They're not for eating, but they're okay to use on Pesach. That's shampoos. As long as it doesn't have on the ingredients oats or there are a lot of things that it could have oats in it. It could have
wheat germ.
It could have other things that are grain products. Then they're okay. The fancy ones are the problem. The regular bar soap, even ones with a fragrance. There are people who are machmer. You can use any bar soap. Toothpaste, better to get with a hechsher, even though there are ones that have been checked that surely don't have any chametz from the regular famous brands. But there's so many with a hechsher. Get with a hechsher, yeah? Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Bar soap with wheat.
What?
That bar soap made out of wheat stuff.
Yeah, that you should do. Yes. If you know for sure that it's been checked, that it doesn't have any chavits in it, it's okay to use. But you have to make sure that it comes from the country where it was checked. For instance, Colgate is made all over the world. It's only the one that comes from America that was checked, but the people check it there. Or in England, the one that comes from England. But if it comes from Taiwan, Colgate, maybe it wasn't checked. So you have to be careful. Yeah? Since it's ones with hechsher, get it one with hechsher. Yeah? Yeah? Disposable? So plastic ones, you can use anything. Plastic doesn't need a hechsher. Napkins and paper plates that are made with starch, there may be a problem. Okay? So if they have ones with a hechsher, that are paper plates. Here, I don't think you get paper plates. You just get plastic plates, no?
Terrible.
I'm just saying, they're not paper. Starch paper. Napkins, better to get with a hechsher if you're going to use it to cook food on. Put hot food on the napkin. This you use it to wipe your mouth, right, and put cold food on.
Paper towels.
Paper towels, the same thing. You should try to get the ones that are known to be starch-free, or not use them for baking on or putting hot food on them. Yeah. What? Yes. Yeah. Baby wipes. There's alcohol in them, but to the best of my knowledge, none of them are problematic. The ingredients and everything is mamish a poison. If you squeeze that out and drink it, it's not. I'm almost sure that there's no problem. Never heard of a problem with baby wipes. Just quickly, one second. Let me just see.
In America,
they have kosher peso baby wipes. Fine.
Kosher
peso
water too.
Remember that? Second, wipes. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Drunks drink.
Most of the time we drink perfume to prove that that's not true.
Baby wipes. Huggies baby wipes for sensitive skin contain oatmeal.
Oh.
He says to use the ones, and Rabbi Blumenkrantz, all of our shalom, he says, this is an old book, but he says to use the ones that don't contain alcohol or oatmeal. Once for oatmeal, you keep a kid breakfast also. better use the ones without alcohol, the baby wipes. That's what he says there. But again, I don't know which kind of alcohol is put in those things. But if he says not, better not to use ones without alcohol, better not to use one. I'm sure there's ones with hechsher in it. Okay. So again, you get something with a hechsher, get it with a hechsher. Especially if it's not any more expensive than the one without the hechsher, get with a hechsher. And for these things, you can use all some sofa products with a hechsher.